Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
Good morning. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. Coming up a little bit later this hour, I want to hear from you if you're getting back to or are contemplating returning to a long commute to work as the state is planning for a full reopening June 15th. I want to hear what you feel about that and what it was like to not have that lengthy commute for the period of time that you did. Now, maybe you're someone for whom that commute you decided you didn't want to return to. You found other work closer to home, or you're going to be working more frequently from home and avoiding it. I want to hear all the different circumstances surrounding that. But we begin with the word this morning that the largest number of unaccompanied youth taken into custody by U.S. authorities has occurred for any one-month period. 19,000 unaccompanied minors were taken into custody by U.S. authorities at the U.S.-Mexico border in the month of March. On Tuesday night, the Long Beach City Council voted unanimously to use its convention center through the summer as a shelter for up to 1,000 of those migrant youths while they are awaiting being paired with family members or others sponsoring them here in the United States. To talk about these numbers, where they fit into the overall challenge for the federal government, is White House correspondent for Bloomberg News, Jordan Fabian. Jordan, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So we knew that there was a tremendous increase in the numbers of unaccompanied minors. Was it anticipated that it would be as large as 19,000 for a month?
Looking at the daily numbers at each day and talking to sources in that world, you got a sense that it was going to be a record number. But I have to say that 19,000 in a month is far and above the previous record, which was over 11,000, which was in May of 2019. So it is a striking number, and it does illustrate the challenge for President Biden and his administration as he seeks to get a handle on this issue.
Yeah, and what is their plan, if any, to try and reduce that number going forward? Are they anticipating, at least for the next couple of months or so, this is what they're going to have to find families for all these kids?
Yeah, officials at the Department of Homeland Security are anticipating the numbers will remain high for another few months. And they're trying a twofold approach. I mean, in the short term, they're just trying to open more shelter space so that they can place these children in situations that aren't a border patrol station, which can often be cramped, especially with COVID still a problem. They want to reduce those cramped and crowded and uncomfortable conditions for those children. So they've already opened or are planning to open 9 emergency facilities. Officials say they're trying to open even more facilities and get those online so they can get those children into the care of the Health and Human Services Department. And then over the longer term, the Biden administration says that they want to try and address the root causes of migration and also work with governments in Central America and Mexico to try to step up their enforcement so they apprehend these migrants and turn them back before they reach the southern border.
Some of the things I've been seeing from immigrant rights groups are that they believe the federal government is exacerbating this by turning away families seeking asylum at the border. And so, therefore, you're getting unaccompanied minors presenting themselves. And furthermore, that immigration officials are doing a very poor job of quickly matching the minors with family members or other sponsors here in the United States. What has the administration been saying about that critique?
Well, on the first one, I think they do acknowledge that the problem with these family units that are frequently now, well, some of them are being turned back to Mexico. So in some circumstances, some families have actually sent children alone in really heartbreaking fashion to the border. And, you know, I think they're trying to step up. What they say they're trying to do is step up some, you know, public service announcements and things like that to try to discourage people from doing that. But what they haven't said they're going to do is stop the use of what's called Title 42, which is this emergency public health order that allows them to turn away single adults and families immediately. And that's caused a bunch of problems. In addition to what you mentioned, a number of single adults are just trying to cross the border over and over again after being returned rapidly to Mexico. I mean, oftentimes when they're returned to Mexico, the conditions they face are even worse than you know, maybe they were leaving in their home countries. You know, not a lot of food or shelter. So they're just trying again and again to try to cross. And I think about 30% of those who crossed in the month of March overall were actually repeat crossers. So there's all kinds of issues that the current policy has created. But we're not hearing any kind of you know, sweeping policy shift being proposed here from the Biden administration. It's more working around the edges to try to solve this problem.
We're talking with Jordan Fabian, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. And what is the reason why it's taking an extended period of time to match the kids with family members who will take them in?
Well, I think it's a twofold problem. One is that the sheer numbers, and they don't have the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is in charge of reuniting those children, doesn't even have enough staff really to do that, to handle these kind of numbers. So what they've done is try to take people from USCIS, which is the agency that is in charge of naturalization, and try to train them to try to be caseworkers, essentially, and also send personnel to Border Patrol stations to try to get the process started earlier. And so that either the reunification process is starting once the child crosses and not when they're in HHS custody, which might take 3 days or longer. So those are the steps that are trying to take to try to speed this up. But they acknowledge that it is still a problem and that the speed is not quite what they want.
Jordan, thank you very much. Appreciate your being with us and describing where things stand with the rather startling number of 19,000 unaccompanied minors presenting themselves at the U.S.-Mexico border over the month of March. Jordan Fabian, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Also with us to give this local side of the story is Councilwoman from District 2 in Long Beach, Cindy Allen. Her district includes the Long Beach Convention Center, which has been rather quiet during this time of the pandemic, but could become a very busy place soon as she and her council colleagues voted unanimously to allow the center to be used for up to 1,000 youths who are awaiting placements in homes here in the United States. Councilwoman Allen, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So this was unanimous among the council members. How are you looking on this facility being operated and what contribution do you see it making toward addressing the problem?
It's going to be a huge asset to this problem. As you know, our convention center, you know, is a major asset here in the heart of downtown, here in the 2nd District, which I represent. And we're currently unable to host any indoor events. And so I think this is just a tremendous opportunity for us to assist our federal partners in these efforts to house and get these minors reunited and with their families or their caregivers. And so I'm just so proud of my council colleagues that all said, yes, we're Long Beach. We're opening up our doors to help these children. I believe it with all of my heart. This was, you know, the right thing to do. And you know, it's temporary. So we'll work as hard as we can to get these children, you know, reunited. And also one of the things that I like to remind people, like we're a host. HHS will be working directly to to reunite them with their families. And we're going to be a great host. We're going to make sure that they have a good shelter, that they have good food, and that they're just well taken care of, you know, during these times.
What about other services? Is Long Beach, the school district, to your knowledge, looking at providing educational services to the kids while they're there? I'm wondering about, you know, volunteers. Long Beach has such a large and active core of volunteers. Will there be opportunity for them to assist? What do you anticipate for that?
We're definitely we're in talks right now with all of our partners, and just trying to understand, you know, where these needs are. One other thing I can tell you about our community, we've gotten so many calls and people that just want to be a part of this and want to assist. So we will be putting information up on our city website for people that want to volunteer. And of course, there'll be screenings and things like that. And so more information to come. And again, we're just in the beginning stages of this. And I know that there will be looking for other partners like the school district and maybe YMCAs and nonprofits to help us, you know, with these efforts.
We're talking with Los Angeles City Councilwoman Cindy Allen. Her district encompasses the Long Beach Convention Center, one of the busiest in Southern California, but like others, has been quiet during the pandemic. Also joining us, Executive Director of the Immigrant Defenders Law Center, which represents folks who wouldn't otherwise have someone to be with them in front of an immigration judge. That includes, of course, unaccompanied minors. Lindsay Tazlowski, thank you very much for being with us. I understand after the San Diego Convention Center opened up for unaccompanied minors, you had a chance to go through it. What did you see?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Larry. I did visit the San Diego Convention Center last week. And, you know, what I saw there was really a stark contrast with what we see for the treatment of children in Border Patrol facilities. So I know many of your listeners have seen the horrifying images from Border Patrol facilities with children sleeping in incredibly overcrowded conditions on the floor in the middle of a pandemic with Mylar blankets. Unfortunately, we have, you know, nearly 5,000 children who are still in Border Patrol custody waiting to be placed in facilities run by HHS. So these large-scale facilities at the convention center are really alleviating that and helping to move kids out. They're not a permanent solution, but what I saw in San Diego was, you know, a relatively safer placement for these children. Obviously not ideal. We want kids to be with their families first and move very quickly out of these facilities. But I did see, you know, at the time there were about 750 children in the facility. They were being cared for. There were volunteers there doing some recreational activities with them. There was some case management still being set up. It was a work in progress. There was a phone bank being set up so that the children could contact their families. There were medical services there. So overall, you know, what I really saw was San Diego welcoming these children into their convention center and doing their best to care for them well. You know, ideally, the situation for these children would be to be with their families. And that's what we're really advocating for. Kids should not spend a moment longer in government custody than they absolutely need to. But it is important that here in California, we welcome these children, that we keep them safe, and we get them to their families as quickly as possible.
Lindsay, what are the ways that you think the government could speed up this process? You know, we were talking with Bloomberg News reporter Jordan Fabian just about the sheer numbers just, you know, posing a challenge in terms of, you know, finding the family members, making sure it's a suitable household and that sort of thing. How would you speed up the process while assuring that the placement is not a dangerous placement for the child?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's kind of the million-dollar question right now, because we all want these kids to be with their families as quickly as possible. I think one of the important things that we need to do is reopen our asylum system. We need to end Title 42, which is expelling family members of these children back to Mexico, which for some children results in them not having sponsors here in the United States. So, you know, we need to reopen our asylum and protection system and end that policy. In addition, we need to make sure that we're considering families first. You know, child welfare programs around the country over the last decades have moved forward with making sure that children are placed with their families first, that we have a presumption of fitness for families when we're looking at having a child out of their custody. And that's really important. We need to make sure that, you know, instead of keeping kids in government custody, we assume that families are fit to take care of them unless there's evidence that they are not, and that those children are moved quickly. And then once they're in our communities, that we have wraparound services available to them so that if there are issues, we recognize them quickly and have the ability to address them. Another really important thing is to make sure that children have a lawyer by their side. We are currently, you know, negotiating with the Office of Refugee Resettlement, and we'll be working with the City of Long Beach to make sure that we have access to the facilities so that we can offer our services and make sure that these children have a zealous advocate who can make sure that they move as quickly as possible to get back with their families and that they have someone that's there protecting their rights.
We're talking with Lindsay Toslowski, who is Executive Director of the Immigrant Defenders Law Center based here in Southern California. They represent people who go before immigration judges who wouldn't have anyone to represent them otherwise. As she just mentioned, last week she toured the San Diego Convention Center site, which is sheltering unaccompanied minors while they're awaiting their placement with family member homes, and also talking with Long Beach City Councilwoman Cindy Allen, the council there unanimously voting to use the convention center for up to 1,000 unaccompanied minors. Councilwoman, is this going through the summer? Is that when this would anticipate ending?
Yes, we our contract, we're entering into a lease with HHS, and that would go into August 2nd.
And what happens, though, if we've got, you know, thousands of kids who have yet to be placed and there aren't other facilities? I know you want to get the convention center up and going again with conventions, but you anticipate that there's a significant chance you might be asked to extend this into the fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's when we were discussing this both in closed session and open, you know, these were some questions that we had. This was one of our concerns, how long this is going to take. You know, what's the cutoff date? If we have a hard stop date of we have to reopen of August 2nd, then at what point do we stop taking, you know, children? And so these are some questions that we have and we're still working through.
All right. Thank you very much, Councilwoman Cindy Allen from Long Beach. And my thanks to Lindsay Toslowski of the Immigrant Defenders Law Center. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. The laws of physics might well have been upended by a finding at a laboratory outside Chicago. We'll talk about what that discovery was and the host of questions that it presented to physicists when we continue in just 1 minute on Air Talk.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.